Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Bargaining with the devil. How Eric Stachelbach does an excellent job of educating us on, you know, radical Islam and defending Israel. He was actually at the Western Wall praying early on in this whole walk, and God called him at that point and said, "I want you to stand up and to defend Israel." And that's how he got to this point.
Oh, wow.
He heard at the Western Wall, and that's where I got my call, was in Israel. It was up in Tiberias. And he's just been, I mean, people thought he was crazy at first, and now they're giving him prime time to go, "Okay, now Eric, now
talk to us."
And so he's interviewing this particular author with talking about the devil's bargain, and America's been dancing with the devil, basically, with these regimes, these rogue regimes, and we're trying to negotiate with them. And, you know, I can understand better now that the Lord's been teaching me on this journey, is what you're seeing is people using the Alinsky methodologies, rules for radicals, which is not going in there and just blowing things up, but it's organizing, trying to organize and use factions and all this different stuff to be able to divide and conquer. And the problem with that is that book is dedicated to Lucifer. And that's what's probably what's, you know, it's pretty much going on.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, like playing with dynamite, it doesn't always end up well. Quite often you see the people who build these roadside bombs and these IEDs, those are the fingerless, handless, armless people because of what has taken place. Also, we're going to get a chance to be able to see how our leaders in Homeland Security and senators are saying they're just preparing for an attack in America. And you think about how unorganized Al-Qaeda was before 9/11. I mean, they were just kind of barely, they're running around with sneakers that didn't match and then training on some monkey bars in Afghanistan. I mean, it's got to be tough to work out in that dress and the pants thing, you know what I'm saying? But there was no socks, you know, in the desert. It was like, oh my goodness, the locker room had to smell bad. And so, but that's all, that there wasn't much going on. There was a cast, you know, being, you know, Saudi Arabia's son, which is kind of leading that over there in Afghanistan, which is kind of bankrolling this thing. And all of a sudden we have a couple people being trained as pilots. A handful ends up flying planes into the Twin Towers in New York, into our Pentagon, and it was a major hit on America and great loss of life. But it was so lightly planned, and I mean, it was thought out, but it was lightly planned. We'll have to understand today, this is the biggest bankroll that these folks who have that mindset has ever had before. They've taken over countries. They take over the southeastern part of Syria. They've taken over military bases. They've taken over the northern parts of Iraq and taken over the military, banks, oil refineries. Oil. There's people, they're selling black market oil over to other countries, and you shouldn't be buying that oil. You're funding all this. And so here we are with our borders being flooded in America, and it's just a matter of time before something happens in our nation. We need to prepare for it. We need to prepare for it in one way as the church, to just quit playing church and start being the church. And when we start being the church, we're not trying to save everything. We're trying to save people. We understand as the church that the only way that you can really make an impact on a society is deal with the hearts of those in that society, not through some political thing. Because if you don't change the heart, it's just, okay, you got your little political win, but you're going to be disappointed as always, because whatever was in that leader's heart is going to come out in their term. So what we should have done, we should have told them about the love of God and witnessed to them, and God will put people in place that will have his heart. I mean, you think about it. You think about Jeroboam. You know, when Jeroboam was just doing his job, he was a man of integrity. God saw his integrity, and God promoted him and brought him in a particular place because of what was in his heart. He went astray when he got there, but understand, I mean, God could promote somebody out of the middle of nowhere to be able to go in a place of leadership. But, you know, the day that we talked about this, and I finally just said it on the air, and I really didn't want to say it, and because there's more people saying the opposite of this. But just because something happens in America doesn't mean America's over. It means America wakes up. I mean, when Pearl Harbor happened, which was horrific, if you haven't seen the footage from Pearl Harbor, you need to see it, because it was just nonstop, just, you know, mutilating our military and our soldiers and our sailors. And it was just nonstop bombardment. It's like all this hate and this malcontent, and it's just, we want to kill you, we want to destroy you. And all they did was awaken a sleeping giant. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, one of the leaders in Japan said that we've woken mm-hmm. a giant. And so it's not, I'm not saying it's over for America if something's happened like that, but I am saying that what God has shown me, that it's going to be physical. There's going to be a physical attack on our land, and we need to be prepared for it. And the day that I did finally say it, that the very city and county that the VFNTV studios is located in, as soon as I said it twice on the air, just right together, very short period of time, the entire county got hit physically. It got hit where power went out all over the county. Fiber optics melted down simultaneously. All of a sudden, a crash happened that melted down the fiber optics. And it was amazing what took place at that one moment. And we were in the dark, literally, and in the studios. But, of course, our generators all kicked back on, and we continued on. But you can go back and listen to that. You can hear it. You can hear it. When you hear me say, you know, I don't know, something. We were in the dark when that was going on because it just hit. We're like, oh, here it goes. Something's going down.
This is it.
So it's going to be physical. The thing about it is we can survive that. You know, we can survive that if we're awake. But if we're like part of the bunch that's being surveyed, as we talked about in an earlier program, it's like 63-67% of people surveyed said they'd rather be electrocuted, they'd rather be shocked, they'd rather experience pain than to learn something. Think about that. They'd rather be, okay, you know, A or B. You're going to have to learn something new that you don't know, or we'll shock you. 60-some-odd percent, according to The Blaze, actually chose to be shocked, which to me is shocking, but it helps you understand. It's like we've been so dumbed down. It's like, I haven't had to learn anything for 10 years, and I don't want to learn anything else. Well, that's going to be difficult to be able to overcome a physical attack on our land if somebody says, okay, now let me explain to you how to defend the land. Just shock me. I don't want to, right? And they will. They will definitely do that. And so we have to begin to say, you know what? Live in the learning curve. I know it's painful, you know, but you just live in the learning curve. It is difficult sometimes to learn, to break mindsets and learn new things. And people's lives are limited because they refuse to learn. But you will find out that we're created to learn. That's how God's created us. He's created us to learn new things. And you don't have to get some electronic game to be able to teach your brain something. Just go do something that requires thought, you know, go get active and say, you know what, I'm going to learn how to do this thing. And you'll be surprised. You just feel fulfilled. Purpose is happening again in your life. And we've got a 60-something percent said they'd rather be shocked, electrocuted, experience pain than have to learn something. And that kind of, when you put that together with 81% of Christians in America having Bibles, but not picking them up. Because you have to actually learn the word of God.
Yeah.
You have to learn it.
Right.
And it's like, memorize scripture, abide with God. Just tell me what it says. It says, you're in trouble.
Right. You know? And then practice it. Oh,
yes.
No.
Yeah, and he says, write it on your forehead, write it on your hands, write it on your doorpost, teach it to your children. And if you're not even, and the reason, not just to memorize something you're not going to do, it's to be able to learn it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, the strategy that a society would rather go through pain, physical pain, than have to learn something. And you think about this. They have everything's electronic. All the books are turning into iPads in schools. Overnight, they can change every book in your entire state by just putting something else virtually up. And all of a sudden, you know, our kids are hearing something totally different. Yeah. And I'm telling you this, we're in a particular place in time, but they're saying, we get back, you're going to see CBN News reporting and talking about how lawmakers are warning President Obama that ISIS is going to come towards America next. It's going to be a physical attack, they're saying, reportedly on America. Al-Qaeda didn't need a a grievance to attack us in 9/11, Representative Peter King says of New York. They didn't need a grievance. They just did it. Who sits on the Homeland Security and the Intelligence Committee. You've got to see this because they're talking about lawmakers are warning President Obama that U.S. is next on the ISIS list. Watch this.
And thanks for joining us for this Labor Day edition of CBN News. I'm Mark Martin. U.S. airstrikes are helping to weaken the Islamic radical group ISIS in Iraq. But lawmakers are calling on the White House to do more as concerns grow about the threat ISIS poses to the West. CBN's Caitlin Burke reports.
U.S. airstrikes against ISIS are proving to be effective. This weekend, the U.S. military assisted in a humanitarian operation to free the Iraqi town of Amerli from a six-week siege. U.S., British, French, and Australian aircraft also dropped food and water to help the thousands of people living there. But lawmakers say it's time to expand on the airstrikes and confront the Islamic radicals that continue to wreak havoc in Iraq.
We now are facing the largest, most powerful, wealthiest terrorist organization in history, and it's going to require some very strong measures to defeat them.
This is a vicious, vicious movement, and it has to be confronted.
Many believe ISIS is a direct threat to the West. Last week, Great Britain increased its threat level to severe, and lawmakers warn against underestimating the threat that ISIS poses to the U.S.
These groups, they don't need any excuse. They will attack us whenever they can. I believe strongly that ISIS does plan on attacking the United States.
According to U.S. intelligence, more than 100 Americans have joined the ranks of ISIS. The fear is they'll use their passports to get back into the country. Caitlin Burke, CBN News.
It's so they're warning, lawmakers, people that are sitting on the committee, they're warning that it's going to be a that America's next. And, you know, prophetically, when God begins to give you dreams, he begins to give you visions about, you know, things happening. And one of the things that he showed me, and he's shown others, but he's shown me, is that a physical attack is going to take place on American soil. The difficult thing that I see is just like, it's almost like our leadership is cooperating with the whole process of that, with our borders being flooded and all the financial crisis, the printing of money. A strangely unrealistic market. It's like, how could it be so high when everything is so low? And how blind it seems like people are, and their minds are blinded. But it makes me think of Blaze TV when imagine going down. If you went down an interstate and you're thinking, man, I need to take this off ramp, and you didn't take that off ramp, you think, I've got to go 5 more miles.
Try driving in New Jersey, New York. That's
yes.
Typical.
Yeah.
You're going to pay if you miss that off ramp. You are going to pay.
Right. And you think about it. So then you think, you know, well, I went 5 miles. I know here's one coming up. Maybe I'll just check the next one. Like, it's 10 miles for the next one. Uh-huh. But there comes a point in time when there's no more off ramps to be able to get off in the right area. And you end up in a place you didn't want to go to. And I want you to watch this. I want you to listen to this. This, of all the things that could be said, it's amazing how well this man, Glenn Beck, actually hears in such a way and has, I guess, a lot of friends that can tell what's going on. But his timing might not be right, and most of us miss timing. But he explains these off-ramps that we didn't take, which means what is next for America? What is next for America? Watch this.
I talked about a guy, I couldn't even pronounce his name. I was on WABC in New York. And I think we had just bombed the aspirin factory or something. And I remember because conservatives were saying that I was trying to help Bill Clinton. And he had just bombed the aspirin factory. And I said, no, it has nothing to do with politics. Have you read the words of Osama bin Laden? Most had not. They didn't know who he was. I couldn't even pronounce the guy's name. That's not a surprise for anybody, but I didn't even know how to pronounce the guy's name. I never heard of him before. I read about his name, saw that's who we were targeting, and then decided to do my own homework and look into him. And I got so frustrated at one point, at a caller, I said, look, within the next 10 years, this guy is going to rain blood and bodies and buildings in the streets of New York. Will you then wake up? Well, it wasn't 10 years. That was in 1999. It was September 2001 where he rained blood, bodies, and buildings in the streets. It was too late. We could have done something, but it was too late. In 2003, I started talking about the head of the snake being Iran, that we could not mess around with Iran. I started talking about the 12th Imam, started really looking into the 12th Imam, and didn't really understand it in 03, but when we were going to war, and we started to ramp up about going into Iraq, I started paying attention to Iran and what was going on. And I said at the time, there's going to come a time, if you don't act soon, there's going to come a time you're not going to be able to deal with Iran. In 2004, I figured out that the Republicans were lying to us because there was stuff happening on the border that didn't make sense. They weren't protecting our values. They were going on some other set of values. They were going on their interests, what was politically expedient for them. That's when I started pulling away from the GOP. The housing crisis in 06, I started talking about that. In 07, the stock bubble. In 06, I was saying, please don't take out these loans. Please. They don't make any sense. Listen to your values, not your interest of getting a house, not to somebody who's trying to sell you something. Listen to your values. It's not going to work. And as that started to grow, I saw the stock market up about 14,000. And I said, this is insane because none of it is real. There's a collapse coming. At this point in 07, we were in the middle of an election. And what were Republicans saying to me? Republicans were saying, shut up, you don't know what you're talking about. Besides, there's a bigger problem. It's Barack Obama or it's Hillary Clinton getting into office. And this isn't going to happen. And even if it does, you're hurting the...
We're going to go right to a break and come back. You got to hear this because he's going to be talking. These are like off-ramps that we could have taken but didn't. Like Jesus said, as he's speaking to his disciples, he said, you know, a farmer can tell the season. He can tell what's taking place and plant his crops and know when to harvest. But it's like my people, they don't even know the signs at the time, the seasons that we're in. And we're watching right now from the blaze. We're watching Glenn Beck talk about the whole progression of these things that he was talking about in advance. And we ourselves talked about it. As a matter of fact, I stood before many people and prophesied some of these things happening themselves. And he had already talked about, you know, Osama bin Laden in 1999, Iran, regards to the housing crisis, the different things that were taking place, and he's progressing. He's talking about these events, and as we were talking about before the break, you know, these are really like off ramps we could have taken when we've seen these things. I think about this. I think about Proverbs 1, when God says, "If you would have listened to my rebuke, if you just would have listened, then I would have shared with you my heart. I would have kept you, but you wouldn't listen. So I will laugh at your disaster. I will laugh at your destruction or disaster." When disaster comes upon you, and it's like, we can listen, but the question is, what he's talking about here is like, there is no more off ramps at this point. We've done printed to oblivion. We've done all these things. 60-something% of us rather be shocked, according to the survey, experience pain than to learn something. It's like, oh my goodness, let's pick up right here where we left off. Glenn Beck.
Besides, there's a bigger problem. It's Barack Obama or it's Hillary Clinton getting into office. And this isn't going to happen. And even if it does, you're hurting the chances of the Republicans because the Republicans were the ones who did it all. Really? Stop looking at your political interests and start concerning yourself with the values. So it collapsed. At about this point, I started talking to, it's right around here that I started saying, this is a highway. These are off-ramps. There's things on the horizon, and if you don't take this off-ramp, if you don't get off here, if you don't get off here, or here, or here, or here, at some point we run out of road. There's nothing left. That's why when I started sensing all of this in 2009, we started the 912 Project. What was the 912 Project? The 912 Project, a lot of people will think that it has something to do with the Tea Party. It had nothing to do with the Tea Party. If you remember, I was against the Tea Party. I said that it was about taxes, and that's not what it was about. It needed to be about values and principles. Follow me here. Values and principles in 2009. Then I started talking about the European uprising with a little book called The Coming Insurrection. And I said there's going to be Nazis and the old hatreds of the 1930s are going to start rising up in, but that was a conspiracy theory, and I was an anti-Semitic bigot for even bringing that up. Then we did Restoring Honor in Washington, D.C. Principles and values, restoring honor. Then I started talking about the caliphate and how the left and the Islamic extremists would unite to collapse the Western world. First they go after Israel, and then they go after the rest of us. That was insane. I followed that summer with Restoring Courage. We continued on that vein in one form or another, and then we did Restoring Love. And that brings us to here. We didn't take any of these exits. We mocked. We ridiculed. Why? Why? Whether you're Republican and you mocked here for your political interests, or you're a Democrat and you mocked here for your political interest. That's the only reason why we didn't get off. There's another reason. It's too horrible to look at these things. It's too horrible to imagine any of these things. All of these things have happened now. All of these things were insane to say at the time. They were too hard to imagine. I understand. I don't want to imagine them. I say to people all the time, they say, well, I don't want to hear any more from you on your predictions of you because they tend to come true. Try living with me. Try being me. You think I want to think these things? I believe we're at the end of the highway. This is it. This is it. What's the answer? Let me just speak to the religious in our audience. Gospel principles. That's it. Live like Jesus. Live like Gandhi. I don't care who your model is. Live like Buddha. You've got to shed pride. We have got to shred wanting stuff. Buddha said that life is suffering. I don't agree with that. Yes, actually, when you understand that suffering is caused from desire to have something, whether that be, I want my kids to get better, that causes you stress and suffering to, I want that car. Stress and suffering. I don't care what religion you're in. We have to start living eternal principles, and we have to start softening the heart. I don't care what religion you're in. I don't care what party you're part of. I don't care if we disagree with each other. It doesn't matter. What is coming is all of this stuff. All of this stuff. The caliphate is here. We are headed towards World War III. I hope we don't get there. I don't want to get there. I don't know how to tell you not to get there because we've missed all of the exits. We are headed for massive European anti-Semitism. Europe does this over and over again. We're headed there. We're headed for a collapse beyond our understanding because we got off the gold standard. What's our money worth? Did you notice that this weekend, Russia and China finished the de-dollarization of their relationship? They don't deal in dollars anymore with each other. They don't have to. Which side do you think China has just picked? They picked Russia. Which side is Russia on when it comes to the caliphate? Oh, that's right, Iran and Syria. What side are we on? Saudi Arabia. Gee, that puts America in the position of World War II, where you look at World War II. Well, you got communist and you have fascist. Well, neither of us want to live under communism or fascism. Oh, but we really don't like the Nazis compared to the communists. So we'll just cozy up to the communists. It's almost like, who do you want to cozy up to? You've got Iran running a caliphate, or you have Saudi Arabia. Well, we really don't like Iran, but we kind of like Saudi Arabia. It's World War II all over again. I thought about this all weekend. I thought, what can I possibly say to you? What can I possibly say to you on how to get out of this? I don't know. I've already said it all. We are now down the highway. There's no more exit ramps. What you have to be is the impact zone. You have to be the parachute. You have to be the one that helps society absorb what's coming. If we don't stand together across all political parties, all lines, all classes, and we just help each other, and we exercise the human heart, it's a muscle. If you don't use it, it ain't gonna work. If we don't do that, I don't know if we survive. I don't know who does.
King rules. Dr. Evita King wrote a book about her family and her uncle, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and I believe truly it is a book of wisdom for today, really understanding how love is the answer. Mm-hmm. It does matter who your God is. It does matter if Jesus Christ is your Lord or not. But when it comes together as a nation, one nation under the Constitution, that as if we defend the cause of this Constitution, protect it from enemies foreign and domestic, doesn't mean we're all walking in the same, if we're in the same foxhole defending the nation, we can be from all walks of life. But if we have somebody in the foxhole who's attacking the nation and attacking the Constitution, then that's not a safe foxhole.
Right.
But in regards to love and understanding that, that's amazing when you think about it. You're looking at factual happenings and things that took place. If you go back and look at prophecies on the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com, you'll see where I'm specifically laying these things out too. I'm talking about these things. God is speaking to me, showing me some of these things, and they're coming to pass. And what they are, they're warnings. They're warnings for us to get off and we can repent. They're warnings. Like it says in Proverbs 1, he says, if you would have responded to my rebuke, these are rebukes. And then we have a message being taught today that people says, you know, that God doesn't do that. God doesn't allow hardship. Mm-hmm. And the reason why people can actually believe that is because they don't read their Bible. 81% don't even pick it up. And he says, consider hardship as discipline. God is treating you as a son. He says, when calamity comes upon you, I'll laugh at your disaster because you didn't listen to my rebuke. If you would have listened to my rebuke and responded, he says, then I would have shared my heart. I would have made my heart known to you, mm-hmm. and I would protect you. And so God does do this. And of all the things, I mean, you think about this, of all the things, you pay a monthly premium to your insurance company. If you'll pull your policy out right there, they understand it. Whoever wrote your policy understands it a lot better than today's church understands it, because you'll notice that they do not insure you for acts of God. Mm. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was like, what if why would an insurance company ever put the word act of God in a policy? Because that was just normal way of thinking. This is the way things were thought about up until just, you know, in the last Woodrow Wilson years and beyond, as things begin to kind of change and the way the narratives change. But understand that, you know, sometimes, you know, storms are happening because they just happen. But sometimes God is allowing those storms to come to be able to cleanse us. Like Katrina, the very name of Katrina meant cleansing and purity. Mm-hmm. You think about that taking place. And it's like, well, some of the words that were given over that time, if that state did not repent, this was the future of that particular state. Pretty severe stuff. And it's like the whole nation, we just are not responding to what God is saying. And all these things are like mercy mm-hmm. off ramps. Mm-hmm. They're like, this is a time to get off. This is a time to repent. This is a time to respond. But instead, it's like we go deeper and, okay, let's defend the cause of Islam on every continent. You know, that's what our president said in Cairo speech. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's just total opposite. But I believe this. This is what I believe. I believe though difficult times are going to come to the world. As a matter of fact, I think Rick Joyner put it this way, is 8 hours in heaven. He said that the world's going to go through hell just recently. I mean, like a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The world's going to go through hell, but the church is going to go through the best days it's ever seen before. But I want to encourage you. The church is not a building, so he's not talking about, when God talks about the church, he's not talking about your 501c3, your committee, your board of directors, that address. He's talking about human beings. He's talking about, you know, people who made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, which means could lose a building, could lose a non-tax status, could lose mm-hmm. all these different things, but could gain souls into the kingdom of God. It'd be the best times ever. And so I want to encourage you that, you know, prepare yourself and be listening to VFN TV, as we're going to begin to talk about prudent preparation in a future program. And hopefully it's available to you now, to all of our partners. You can go and access it at VFNTV.com. But prudent preparation, we got to begin to prepare two ways, one spiritually, one physically, because going through something, as you're seeing that the Northern Iraqis, Christians that are going through the situation of loss of different stuff and things, and the fact they didn't have simple things like water, simple things like food, it just bogged them into a place that, like, we're going to die on this mountain. Mm. And you can make simple decisions and say, you know, I want to be able to be nourished and to be able to help other people be nourished and hydrated. during maybe a time of crisis, you know, maybe a 30-day time of crisis, maybe a time of rebooting and coming back up again. There's just so many different ways to do that. And so we got to begin to think outside this box. Yes, we have to learn something. We have to learn something. Sorry, we may shock you by what we say, but we're not going to physically shock you. Mm-hmm. As some people are saying, they'd rather be electrically shocked, 60-something% electrically shocked rather than learn something. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.